Welcome back to another episode of Dentistry's Growing with Grace podcast. Join Grace and her guest of the week as they discuss lessons learned in the industry and explore unique insights into ethical growth.
Hello, welcome back to Dentistry's Growing with Grace. I'm here with one of my favorite people, Dr. Laura. Thank you for being here with me. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for asking. It's a beautiful day. And I'm excited to be here. We have had this on the calendar for a long time. So let's get to it.
Let's do it. Well, so you and I have worked together for a couple of years now. You're a client of ours of Identity Dental Marketing, but that's not what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about your other business, your other passion. So tell us about that. How do you go from practicing doctor to having this whole other business? It's amazing.
Oh, well, you know, so I'm a certified life coach. That's my other thing. And so I have just taken all this, this energy into studying the brain of an average dentist, figured out what things we think that get in the way of us practicing in a joyful and successful way. And I fell into it because I got a life coach once, and it wasn't dental related. It was just like helping me with my own scarcity slump in my practice. And it was so helpful, was so crazy how it transformed my own practice that I decided I needed to share it with other people because it just makes such a huge difference.
That's awesome. I love that. So you went and you got certified.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now you're helping dentists with that information, right?
Yes, that's correct. I have basically, I guess you would call it a coaching or consultancy called Love Your Practice. And I only coach women who own their dental practices. And we go through kind of the common problems that our human brains create when you mix in like how a brain works and you just sprinkle in like being a dentist and owning a practice, like some of those things that get in the way of us really having joy in our practices and really loving it. You know, we go through a 6-month program, and by the time they're done, they're reset in a way where they're more empowered to feel how they want to feel instead of overwhelm, stress, fear, you know, scarcity, like I was talking about, all those things that I'm sure all of your listeners have experienced if they've ever owned a dental practice.
Or any business.
Right?
It's all the same. I know we think everything is so different for dental, and there are some really strong differentiators that make the job at hand very difficult. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell you, every business owner, myself included, we struggle with all of these things at some point.
Yes.
So I love it. So I know today we are going to focus on mindset and mindset blocks. What are some of the problems you're seeing in regards to mindset that's really limiting the growth of a dentist owner in business?
So in order to answer that, I need to take like 2 minutes to explain a little bit about how brains work. If you think about a brain as something that biology created, okay, it's an organ that serves the organism, right?
Okay.
It's electrical meat that sits between our ears, okay? And its job is to filter the data that's coming in through our senses and then decide, is this good for survival or is it bad for survival? Can I use this to help pass on my genes to the next generation or not? Does this help me be a part of my pack or not? It's kind of basic, right? But this is what brains do. And then when you take that brain and you add in the training that a dentist has to go through, some of the shaming things that we go through as far as like not being good enough when we do our wax up or our practicals, expecting ourselves to get straight A's before we get there, and then owning a business with humans that we're responsible for, and we're performing live surgery on a fully awake individuals all day, every day, we get into habits of the brain filtering that make us feel bad.
Yeah.
And when we feel bad, then we don't act in accordance with how we want to show up for our dental practices. So for example, let's pretend that we have an employee who is doing something that we want them to change, Okay, where maybe they're not talking to the patients the way we want them to, or they're not bagging the instruments in an efficient way, or they're wasting some, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a thing, right? But we have, our brain has been filtering in information about the employment market this whole time, right? And oh my goodness, we've got like a 20% shortage of hygienists right now. And so when we have hygienists, we're just thrilled that they're even there. But we have this problem because we want them to do something different. And the thing is that our brain is telling us that we can't. So it might sound, a thought might sound something like, well, I really want her to do that thing differently, but I'm afraid to talk to her because what if she quits?
Yeah. Or we don't even process that far. We just have this feeling of fear. We don't even know where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And we're too busy to take the time to break this down and articulate why we're not having these maybe conversations or leadership, you know, appropriate leadership. We might not even know that fear is in the mix, right?
Yes, because most of us are not aware of what we're actually feeling or the thought that creates the feeling, because it's a law of nature. Our feelings come from our thoughts. It comes from what our brain is filtering. So we're filtering that there's a scarcity of hygienists, and it automatically turns into a fear that stops us from sitting on our thrones and asking for what we want, even if it's in a nice way. We're afraid to even do it nicely because what if they leave? So we're letting these fears that we haven't even articulated to ourselves dictate how we lead, until we just lose it. And then we're angry because they're not practicing, they're not doing the thing that we want them to. And we haven't done the proper leadership in order to have the behavior we actually desire.
Yeah. And I love this example because it's very prevalent right now. It's something everyone can kind of relate to right now. Mm-hmm. I would extend this too and encourage our audience to extend this to thinking about even patient interaction. Are you afraid to tell them what's really going on in their mouth because you're afraid that you're going to lose them as a patient or you're going to upset them? Are you tiptoeing in your communication because there's this hidden business coach that you don't pay named fear that is really kind of pushing you sometimes in the wrong direction? So how does a person go from being in a state of unaware survival, almost like muscle memory, how you just kind of move through your day, to intentionally making some change in these areas?
First of all, I love that example that you used, because I want to say very clearly that the thing that limits our income the most as dentists is what we allow to exit our lips to our patients. Are we willing to tell them the truth about all the ways that we can help them? And most of the time we feel sorry or embarrassed that there are things we could do. How many patients do each of your clients have who could actually benefit from Invisalign or clear aligner ortho? Like most of them, right? They're getting crowded down here. They got narrow palates. Why are we not telling these patients that we can help them? And it's because of what you said. We are afraid that the patients won't like it if we tell them that we could help. But when we change how we look at it to I'm being helpful, I'm trying to help them, it can change what we do. But back to your question being, how do we change it? It starts with awareness, and that is what a life coach does. There are other ways to become aware. You can listen to podcasts, you can read books, or you can hire a coach and say, coach, can you please help me learn what my brain is doing that's not very helpful so that I can redirect it?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I want to mention to people too, because you might be thinking, well, okay, now I'm aware of it. I can fix it. And maybe you can to a point. Maybe you're sitting there going, I'm operating a little bit under the pretense of fear instead of confidence and compassion and all of these other things that I know I really am. And I just want to kind of let you know that when you do have some regular time to talk through these things, you're going to become more and more aware of these instances where mindset is holding you back. So you might be aware of one instance where it's holding you back, but unless you make that, like I said before, intentional decision to dedicate some time to this, it's going to be hard to see that, that change, that continual progress that you want to see. So
yes, it takes practice and it takes help in order to move from just swimming in your own thoughts to seeing your thoughts. That takes some practice and either a coach or just intentionality and just sitting with your thoughts and really thinking about them instead of just always taking them at face value and assuming that what you're thinking is a fact.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I love that. Your feelings aren't facts either. Your feelings, you can be in your feelings and really being emotional, especially, I'm going to say for women, because I am one and I get to say that, right? But I can identify when I'm having an emotional week of the month and that I probably shouldn't be making huge decisions or having very difficult conversations for a few days. I can be self-aware enough to know where I'm at emotionally. And I think that's important. I think it's very important.
I agree. I think a dentist who is aware of her or his feelings and recognizing that they're not facts is much better attuned to make money. That's what we're doing here, right? We're trying to grow our practices and make money. And our feelings are simply a vibration of hormones and neurological processes that move through our body. When we can recognize, oh, my body wants me to feel fear right now, it dissolves the power of the fear, if that makes sense. We can look at it more objectively if we can understand where it came from.
Absolutely. And I know now I sound like I'm talking to my first grader, but you can control your emotions. You can take a break. You can change the thoughts that accompany those feelings, and that can actually change those feelings too. So there are things you can do. So what mindset blocks do you see in regards to dental practice owners in their business, maybe related to marketing or collections or other business functions?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do one on marketing and one on collections.
Okay.
I see this a lot with marketing. Dentists, I completely understand this, but dentists feel like they're being squeezed from every direction. Okay. So they've got the increase in the staff salaries. They got the squeeze from the insurance company. They have everything going up in price. And so when they're feeling like they're being squeezed, they have a tendency to not invest where it would help them the most.
100%. Yes, I see this all the time.
Yeah. But where did that feeling of being squeezed come from? Well, it came from the same place that every other emotion we experience is, and that's a thought. Okay. So thoughts that I hear dentists saying that would limit how they're going to spend on marketing is, well, it feels like more of an expense than an investment, or this, I'm not guaranteed to get this back. So I'm not going to spend the money. I should be able to get this for less. I should be able to get the result that I want. I should be able to get those new patients in a cheaper way. Okay. So those types of words aren't facts. They're just the way your brain decided to process the information, but they create emotions that stop you from taking the action that would help you the most in your practice.
Yep. And you can see by my body language, I'm like biting my tongue to speak, and I'm sorry for that, but this is my daily existence. I get on calls with people. I look at their demographics. I look at what they can expect from this method, and I educate them on that. And sometimes they'll be like, "You're charging a lot." I'm like, "That goes right to Google. That goes right to Facebook." Well, you're wanting this other company can do it for that. And it's just where it's coming from, these outside things. It's coming from the Facebook group where you have the one doctor who's in a really rural market. A little bit of money goes a long way. And they're like, well, I trust that guy because he's a dentist and I'm a dentist. So I trust his expectations that were set for his practice. And so you take that into a sales conversation. And when you encounter a really hungry salesperson, they're just going to nod and smile and tell you whatever you want to hear until you sign their contract. And then you keep repeating this cycle of, I'm just going to work with the people who tell me what I want to hear. And you get stunted because you're unable to move forward with those realistic expectations that fit your exact practice. And so sometimes I think this awareness that you're talking about brings so much value, because sometimes these expectations are set by ads. They're set by best case scenarios. They're set by just what you think it should cost. Your thoughts or your outside sources, and you don't really know where to place that benchmark. So yes, I see this all the time.
Yeah, I know. And I just want to say, this is, you did not pay me to say this. I felt it so helpful when you separated out for me your fee from what I was paying Google, because now I understand. Before, it was all mixed together and there wasn't an honest accounting with the old company of what I was actually paying them. Now I understand it. And what's funny is what I get from Google is so much more than it was before, even though I'm actually spending less with you. And I know that it's not always going to be the case because it depends on the market. But what I propose for anyone who's having problems deciding to jump in on a marketing campaign is look at what you're thinking and decide how you would like to feel. Would you like to feel confident? Would you like to feel curious? Because curious is a safe emotion where we can gather more information. Would you like to feel excited? And ask yourself if the stuff you're thinking right now is creating that thought, or could you think something that creates curiosity? Like, I wonder what this other company could offer me. And I wonder if it will work and how will I figure that out? You're asking yourself excellent questions instead of saying, well, this should work. Every time you have a word, the word should in your thought, you're judging something and it feels terrible every single time.
Yeah, I love that. It's very helpful. And just going into that conversation with an open mind and an open heart. And there are some little tips I'll throw in before we go into the next mindset thing, but there are some little tips. You know, one, assess the risk. What's the real risk here? I think sometimes people blow up the risk in their head into this monster that it's not. It's like, okay, you run this Google ad. Maybe you've got $1,000 in ad spend. You run it for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, and you assess what it actually produced. Then you reassess it. You're not signing your life away. You don't have to go into these big risk, big investment situations. You can take the risk that you're comfortable with taking when you're comfortable taking it. If you feel well educated around fair expectations and you're comfortable with those. So just, that's my tangent. And going back to something that you mentioned as well, related to like marketing and ad spend, I always recommend that people pay Google directly and Facebook directly, because if the money is getting passed through the marketing agency, you just don't have that transparency that you need to know, okay, 1 month that agency could just totally pocket your entire investment and you have no real presence through Google ads. You have no way of gauging and seeing that. So really advocate for yourself now that you have this information. Advocate for yourself that you have transparency in ad spend and management fees. So I digress. That's my tangent.
I loved that tangent. And just to add to it, one of the things that you did when you were describing actually assessing your risk is what a life coach would call separating out the facts from your thoughts about it. Nail down what the actual facts are and acknowledge what your thoughts about the facts are so that you can choose to think about the facts a different way if you want to. Oh, I see. My proposal here is to spend $4,000 in the next 4 months for this experiment with Google instead of, gosh, this is a lot. That's a thought.
Right.
Okay. Saying exactly what the facts are is just stating it, stating the facts.
And you want to feel better about that investment. Look at your actual ROI. Do some digging, spend a little bit of time looking at the leads that became patients and what they invested with you to improve their oral health. Look at who they referred as patients. Look at the big picture, and you'll feel a lot better about that investment when you see that it's an investment and not just a cost. And if it is just a cost and you see no value, you know, after really giving it time and having fair expectations, go in a different direction. If someone calls me and says, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working, typically it's because they don't have the right mentality at the front office to convert. That person might be operating out of fear, might not be a confident communicator. There's a lot of things, but every once in a while you take a risk and it doesn't pan out the way you needed it to. It's okay to change direction at that point. Mm-hmm. So there's always a little bit of risk involved. It's fairly predictable. Most of what we do is pretty predictable, but there's always a little bit of risk.
Yeah. And that's just a part of life. I mean, if we think that we're walking through life without risk, we're wrong. We're just not looking at it. And that's not a really effective way to choose how you want to show up for your practice.
Yeah. In your experience in working with dentists, on the scale of risk takers, how many would you say are risk takers? And I think that's a good thing because you need that ability in business to take risk. And how many are just very safe? Like, where would you say dentists fall on that scale?
Yeah, dentists are not typically risk takers. We're not really set up in our brains to be business owners. We do it because that's the model. But typically I don't see very many risk takers in dentistry. And if there are risk takers, they've accepted the realities of business a little bit better than a lot of us. They've accepted that they might lose money on something and they don't look for life coaching.
I have a quick story for our audience. I brought on a client and he was looking to bring in more cosmetic patients. He was really dialed in on cosmetics. I looked at his market. He was in a super competitive market. And I said, you know, in order for you to get a tangible ROI, you need ad spend of 2000. I said, if you go lower, it's not going to be a viable budget in your market for what you're trying to do. Well, after he signed up, he cut the budget from 2000 to 500 to test it, even though we talked about it extensively. Actually, I think his office manager was more fearful than him and less able to take that risk. And 2 or 3 months later, of course, they canceled because they're like, well, it didn't work. And I'm like, but that's not what you signed up for. You signed up, we set expectations, and then you rewrote the rules of the game. You took those, like the Monopoly instructions of how you play, ripped it up, and then you tried to keep playing the game without any money, without any pieces, without any property cards. You when you invest in something and you have a plan with something, and you get scared at the last second and you pull back, you then can't, that's not, it doesn't make sense. Why are people doing this?
Well, let's answer that question right now. I mean, we have to guess, but the action was that they changed what they had planned to reduce what they were spending, right? So if we're reducing what we're spending, then the emotion that drove them to do that might've been, what do you think they were feeling?
I think they were afraid to take the risk.
Afraid.
Yeah. Afraid to take the risk, but then don't do it at all. You can't do a fraction of it and then hold it to the same level of expectation.
Mm-hmm. But Grace, why were they feeling afraid? Let's just look into the mind of this former client of yours and answer it. What were they thinking that made them feel afraid?
Yeah, that happened after they signed up. So everything was yes, yes, we're going to try this, yes, 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 mm-hmm. and then signed up and immediately pulled back ad spend. So I don't know. And we were like, no, you can't do this. No, this isn't going to work. Well, we just want to try it. We just want to try it. We just want to try it. Yeah. And that's tough. Yeah, you might get one. Like you might get a lead, but you don't want to do that. So I don't know. The truth is, I don't know because it happened.
Yeah. Well, what I can tell you, I can do a little bit of like sort of like horse whispering, except it's dentist whispering for you. Yes. Brains don't like change. Yeah. They don't like risk. And brains will actually trick you into keeping things the way they used to be. So if it was a new client trying a new thing, probably the dentist's brain went something like, I don't know if this is going to work. I want to mitigate my risk. Let's change the plan to something that quote unquote feels safer. And then they walked away from your smarts and went with their brain's desire to keep their organism safe by mitigating change, right? That's probably what happened, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that we get stopped up with as dental practice owners, that if we can be aware of what we're thinking and go, oh, wait a second, my brain just doesn't like this change. I can understand why I'm feeling uneasy, but I trust Identity Dental, or I trust this plan that I have. And my cerebral cortex is telling me that it's a good idea. And so I'm going to sit with this discomfort, but I'm going to go ahead and try out my plan and look at the facts before I decide to back off.
I can relate to this. I think every business owner can relate to this. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, even before I make like a big hire, like a big expensive manager hire or whatever, I get cold feet before I make these big decisions, and they might be great, great opportunity. And we've been told our whole lives, follow your gut. Well, what happens when your gut is broken? What happens? That happens. Yeah. That happens. How do you handle that? You know, now I'm just getting free coaching from you.
All I can say is how I would handle it as a coach. I would first teach you the biology of not wanting change. Mm. And then I would step you through the process that I've created to help dentists embrace the change, which starts with accepting why you feel uncomfortable.
I love it.
And then talking yourself through, but why would this be worth it? Why would I want to go through this discomfort for the sake of my business? And you get to the end there, and then you're like, okay, this feels uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to put the Google ad spend in there and see what happens. And I'm going to measure the results instead of just asking my scarcity-minded brain if it's going okay or not.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I don't know why everyone can throw 500 here, 500 there, 500 there, 500 there. But if they put all those 500s together into one thing, it would actually work for them. I just don't get the dentist mind when it comes to marketing. I don't know.
Just call me.
I'll call you. I'll be like, you know what? Talk to Dr. Laura. Yeah. Okay. So same question, mindset blocks that go towards collections and that process. What can you share with us here?
All right, two tiny examples. And then if these appeal to anybody and they're like, help me with that, they can reach out to me. Okay. Because this will make you so much money.
Tune in, guys. That's where you, okay, take your YouTube off of 2x speed. And now this is where we really hone in. All right.
Okay. So the first is an attitude of assuming that patients don't want to pay when they get their service. Okay. So I'm not even talking about waiting for an insurance company to send a check. I'm talking about being fee for service and asking for your money when you do it. Okay. There is a really strong belief that patients can't or won't pay because they're used to doing it the other way.
Or they don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want to pay. They don't want to pay. They just want to do it the way we've always done it. I challenge that belief. And if you would challenge that in your mind, you're going to make more money, because patients pay for things that they're getting all the time in other industries. I cannot ask my McDonald's checker outer if I can have my burger and pay her later. She's going to say no. And so just from like the most basic things, if I'm going to get groceries, I have to pay for them today. And if we can get over the belief that patients don't want to pay, we can start sincerely, honestly, asking for recuperation, for us bending over and sacrificing our bodies and our health to fix their teeth. We can ask for it now. And we won't have to take the discount that insurance has asked us to, and we can have it now.
Yes.
That's the first one.
I call this in sales, the assumptive tone. Mm-hmm. And I did witness this when I worked in a dental practice before I started Identity Dental Marketing. I witnessed this. I saw front office team members and stuff being very apologetic in their tone when they were asking for money, like as if they were doing something wrong. And the energy that they're conveying is one of this person doesn't want to pay. This person doesn't have the money. This person can't, won't, those things. And you actually create what you're fearing or what you're thinking or what you're assuming. So the assumptive tone for me is just going into that conversation, assuming that the patient has no problem paying. Even if the patient you spoke to before this person had a problem paying, you've got to hit the emotional reset button and you've got to embrace this assumptive tone that I'm going to assume that this person has no problem paying. And that's how I need to present my energy. Is that in alignment with what you're talking about here?
Yes. And it might mean that the people at your front desk need a little bit more training or even coaching, where they can see that they had a belief that this was a lot of money, quote unquote. It was too much for them to ask to pay right now. Because we need people at the front who feel good, proud about asking for the money now, because our doctor is in business and she needs to get paid and we need to get paid. And that means this work that she just bent over backwards to do for you gets paid for today.
Mm-hmm.
That's not asking too much. It's asking for just the right amount.
That's right. It is not asking too much. It's just hard when that's the emotion you get every once in a while from a patient, maybe every 10th patient or so.
Yes. Gives
pushback. And what we do is, this is another little phrase I have, is that we make the exception the rule. So the one difficult patient, we turn into the prototype of a patient. And now it just disintegrates our ability to get acceptance, to help more people, and to operate from a place of positivity and confidence.
Yes, that same phenomenon can affect how we treatment plan as well, where, you know, I might tell one patient that they'd benefit from full mouth reconstruction and they get uncomfortable and leave the practice. And then all of a sudden I spend the next 6 months not telling anyone who could benefit from it that I could change their life.
Yeah.
Because somebody didn't like it. And then I assume nobody wants it. Same thing with Invisalign. You know, yeah. People are in different phases of their life. Maybe they're paying for the kids' braces right now or their kids' college right now. And so they're like, no, I can't afford it. And all of a sudden, the next 20 people who could benefit from it, I'm not even suggesting it because I'm embarrassed and sorry that the other person said no thanks.
Yep. Yep. It's huge. And the hard part here is, even if you're the most intelligent person in the world, even if you know all of these things on paper, when you're in it, they creep back up and they happen again. So you could coach with Dr. Laura, you could get to the point where everybody's super confident. And then 6 months or a year later, you go in to observe and this kind of dropped a little bit, this dropped a little bit. It's the kind of thing that you have to actually actively maintain. And I'm going to say intentionally again, but intentionally involve yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that as well?
Yeah, our need to be aware of our thoughts will continue to be something that benefits from us when we look at it, because we will always be swimming in our thoughts. And we will always end up assuming that they're facts until we really look at it. So mm-hmm. Keeping up with it by doing some intentionality practice or by keeping in touch with a coach like me can really, really benefit any practice.
So this isn't on our agenda. So I'm going to throw this question at you because I love to just keep you on your toes. But can you tell us a little bit about what it looks like when you work with someone? So let's say I'm a practice owner and I reach out to you. What does that journey look like? What does the investment of time look like? Mm-hmm. Because I think some people will look at this and say, okay, it's great, but I don't have time to worry about all of this right now. How do you work with them?
So typically someone comes to me because they're feeling overwhelmed and stressed to a point where they're recognizing that they're not having fun anymore and something needs to change. They want to get back to the excitement that they felt when they bought or started their practice, they want to love it. Because if you think about it, if you love your practice, it's kind of like your baby, and then you act like you love it and it keeps on getting better and better, right?
Yeah. It's your baby that sleeps through the night and eats. And as it grows, that obedient child, you know. Yeah,
exactly. It pays you back for things. So they come to me either from my podcast or a referral, and they're like, I'm not happy anymore. And we talk, and then they end up working with me for about 6 months. We typically meet about once a week, but it ends up being about 3 times a month. And usually we can find a time that works pretty well for everybody. So it's not a huge time commitment, but I will tell you that there have been times when people have invested and then not shown up for themselves. And then it's just not very effective. So I recommend that people double check with their calendars before they give me money, because you need a little bit of time, and then awareness activities outside of the hour that we're coaching is, you know, 5 to 10 minutes a day.
Awesome. Okay. I love that. So it's not like they're going to have to do like fly out for a week and get some sort of intensive. It's can fit into what they already have going on in their world. So
pretty much. Yeah. Yes. And it's over Zoom. They don't have to get on a plane. Like you said, I make it pretty easy.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I think that we've shared a lot of great information. How can our listeners get more information about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm always looking for more people to help. So if there's someone out there who's like, oh my goodness, what if I didn't feel overwhelmed? What would change in my life? I'm your girl. And you can go to my website. It's just loveyourpractice.net. Awesome. There on my practice, you can find my podcast. I have 70 episodes there, so you can binge it all. And I have a free course that helps you set your mindset before you correct an employee that you can sign up for from my website as well. And that's free for anybody, man or woman.
You can. Awesome. So loveyourpractice.net for more information. Thank you so much for being with us today. And for those of you following along, thank you for joining our Facebook group, Dentistry is Growing with Grace, following our podcast, Dentistry is Growing with Grace, and our YouTube channel under Identity Dental Marketing. If you need any help growing your practice, attracting the right new patients for you, improving your digital footprint, just reach out. I do offer complimentary marketing planning sessions. You can find me at identitydental.com. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Laura. I appreciate you being here. Everyone have a great day.